It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's a little odd to do shows in the afternoon, but I know so many of you have been asking me to do an afternoon show, especially for my friends overseas. Usually when we do the shows here in New York, 9, 10, 11 p.m. at night, it is the wee hours in the morning overseas. So right now, a little more manageable for my international friends. And I'll be honest with you, if there is a way that we can do an afternoon show once a week, we'll get it done. The only question is, what day will that be? I mean, with my office, I can work around it a little bit, but, you know, we got to figure that out. But the reason why I'm here Monday afternoon, and I'll let everybody know, and for those watching the replay or listening, you will tell by the length of the show that this was shorter than our usual content. Later on tonight, at 11:05 p.m., right after Raw, I will be right back in this chair for your Raw post-show and a few other news tidbits. We have an unfortunate death in the world of pro wrestling. Man, Dave Heppner died over the weekend. Really, really sad, but, you know, there's that old phrase that things happen in threes, and yesterday Tim White died. He was in poor health. But what a controversial guy as far as the world of pro wrestling goes. You know, outside of wrestling, or I should say outside of the cameras, I have heard nothing but beautiful things about Tim White. So beloved in the world of pro wrestling behind the scenes. The storyline that they did in 2005 is still up there for yours truly with Katie Vick. I mean, for those of you out there, and we'll talk about it more tonight, but those of you out there that never witnessed in real time a day in the life of Tim White, I think it was 2005 where they did those skits where he was attempting to end it all. We don't want to use the S word here because that is a very sensitive word to use, especially on the video side of things. That was so, you know what, Sean Smith, you nailed it on the head. That was the first thing I thought about when Tim White passed. He is reunited with Andre the Giant. The bond that Tim White had with Andre the Giant was like this. I'm sure a lot of you out there have seen that biography that aired, what was it, 2001? I think it might have been. I mean, just think about it. That was before those skits. Tim White was pretty much Andre's assistant, you know, if you look at it like that. And once Andre passed, that's when Tim White, I think, was working more full-time for WWE. He was, I guess you could even say, maybe Andre's caretaker. Beautiful friendship between those two. Beautiful relationship. I mean, could you imagine without having that close bond with Tim White, if Andre had no one else that he could be that close to? Can you imagine what life must have been like for Andre? Not just being in pain and in poor health, but just his size and his limitations and how he was just, you know, depressed. I mean, why do you think the guy drank as much as he did? It wasn't just because he loved alcohol. I mean, obviously there was a lot of pain physically and emotionally. And you see what happens to some when you take that and then you decide to get behind the wheel. And others, my God, right now we're in the middle of what's going down with Jeff Hardy. And you realize, you know, Tammy Sytch facing DUI manslaughter charges. And I saw a question come in a few moments ago. And look, this show today, strictly Q&A. everyone who is live, you could start posting your questions and I will answer them all. Just put the word question before it so I could spot it quicker. Yes, you know, super chats are not required, but they do get a little bit of VIP attention, which is only fair. But since we're talking about, you know, alcohol and the Tammy Sitch stuff, Big Sal sent this in right before we went live. It says, happy belated Podfather's Day. Thank you. I will be at a doctor's appointment later, so I can't tune in live. Quick question. Did you hear about the lawyer for Tammy Sitch asking to be removed from the case? Yes, I did. I don't remember his name right now. I have to look it up. I think it's like Stephen De La Roche. That guy is a pretty powerful person in Florida. I'm very familiar with the guy because we've covered him in the past. Even outside of the wrestling scope of it, he was a judge back in the early 2000s. And he had some controversy at that time, and he ended up leaving as a judge. I don't know if he was forced. I doubt it. He ran for office maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, and now he has private practice. So, yeah, I am aware that he has requested to be removed from the case. I will get you firsthand information as to what's going on and why. I already have some tidbits. I will tell you that everything that you're reading online is just people reading from a website. You know, PW Insider reports. No, PW Insider read the website. He read the court website and saw the court document. Anybody could do that. They raced to be first on it, so that's why everybody is saying they reported it. I will get you some of the behind the scenes as far as specifically what went down. I might have it by tonight. If not, as soon as I get it, I'll let you know. But I will say this. Regardless of this guy's history, he is a damn good criminal defense attorney. So I cannot see how this is a good thing for Tammy Sitch. You know, the early word is that she's not cooperating with the lawyer. And I got to be honest with you. How do you not cooperate? You're sitting in a jail. Like, what is she not doing? So that's why I want to get those answers for you. But yeah, I am aware of it, and that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. Ah, Mike from New York. Much love, my friend. And later on tonight, you might actually win a prize. Thank you for that. It was very kind of you. For everybody who was part of our watch parties Friday, SmackDown Rampage, later on tonight on the post-Raw, we're going to be giving away this Vince McMahon signed photo. You know, even if you're not a fan of Vince McMahon, you could put that on eBay right now and get at least $100, $150 for that. Vince McMahon autographs are not easy to come by. But we're going to do a drawing tonight, everybody who was live. And believe me, there was a lot more people live than usual on Friday, which is awesome. It's awesome. The more the merrier, man. And speaking of plugs, if you haven't checked it out yet, when I go like this on the replay, there will be a link. It is an absolute must listen. Check out what we talked about over the weekend about the Vince McMahon situation. I'm sure some of you today will ask some follow-up questions, and that's what I'm here for. But we got into it, and I personally feel that we got into it more unbiased than anyone else out there. Because most people, there's an agenda either on one side, you know, get this guy out of here, he's awful. And then there's the other side that, look, you know, he's just a horny 70-something-year-old man, you know, is consensual. I think we were very fair in our analysis. And the reaction has been unbelievable. I mean, as far as video, there's obviously a bigger audience than usual, but on the audio side, next to WrestleMania, the most listened to episode that I've done this year. So, Sandman Sizzle, any update on who rented the car Jeff Hardy was driving? Not yet. Today is a federal holiday. And much love to everyone out there who observes and celebrates Juneteenth. You know, I don't know how I could say I celebrate it. I try to celebrate Juneteenth, and this might sound a little choreographed. It's not. This is coming straight from the heart. I treat everybody, black, white, straight, gay, you know, male, female, animal, you know, I try to treat everybody the same. So for me, I hope that I celebrate, you know, just equal rights, fair respect every single day. But for those who are of color that have, you know, this history and family ancestry and seeing what, you know, our ancestors used to do, I mean, it's a horrible point of our history, but Juneteenth celebrated freedom. And look, keep in mind, and look, I'm looking right at you. I don't need a social studies class. I don't need notes to say this. This was celebrated in 1865, Emancipation Proclamation. I think that's what it was. And I think that was signed in like 1863. But this freeing the slaves was not until, I think, 1865. So it took like a couple of years for it to actually kick in. And realize when you think of Martin Luther King Jr. and others, that's 100 years later. So just because it was signed in the 1860s doesn't mean that freedom was truly freedom. So I acknowledge it. I learn from it. I try to be a better person because of it. So, you know, so for everyone out there, it's a very emotional holiday for some of you out there. For me, I mean, I'm just being honest. I'm a white guy. I'm a fat, white, Italian guy. So I can't relate to that, you know, but, you know, you have all my respect in the world. So today's a federal holiday. And because of that, the offices, you know, for the clerks, the courts, the prisons, the judges, the police, sheriffs, most of them are off today. So the short answer of it is no, I don't have an update yet. I am working on it, though, and it blows me away. And look, there's no other shows out there that are going to put the finger on some of these big news journalists and podcasters out there, because you see, it's the cool kids club. You see them all showing love for each other. You see them plugging each other. You see them all wanting to hang out with each other. You know, for us, the family here, it's a big fuck you from most people out there. Not everybody. You know, we have our friends in the podcasting world. But for the most part, these big elite journalists, they don't want to touch this. They are afraid of finding out who it is. And I'm not going to speculate who it is. But I will tell you, the more I'm starting to dig on this, the more it's getting controversial. Because I personally think some of these journalists know who rented the car. Could end up being Jeff Hardy. We already talked about that over the weekend. It's highly unlikely. But if Jeff Hardy rented the car, somebody's in some serious shit from a rental company. If someone rented it for Jeff Hardy, that person could be in some serious shit. If it is a well-known name and they know Jeff Hardy's history, they are in some serious shit. Shh, they want to keep it quiet. Wouldn't you think the guy, and I look, I absolutely am 100% in support of Jeff Hardy. Should not have gone behind the wheel, has to take responsibility for his actions, has to be held accountable. No question whatsoever. I want to see a positive conclusion to his battles with his demons. It is a lifelong struggle. If he's clean a year from now, 2 years from now, 10 years from now, it will still be a lifelong struggle. But he should not have been behind the wheel. Somebody assisted him in getting that vehicle. Unless he stole it, somebody assisted him. That's not a story. That's not a story. I'm not going to lie to you. And I'm being totally sincere when I say this. Do you remember the Perry Saturn situation? A lot of you probably weren't even following my shows at that time. I uncovered a big story about Perry Saturn. And it led me down a rabbit hole that I got crucified back then. And in hindsight, I said, you know, I should have never bothered to research it. For those that want the short story of it, back in the day, there was a lot of rumors that Perry Saturn had died. When John Cronus passed away, Perry Saturn did not go to the funeral. The Mass Maniac was good friends with Perry Saturn at the time. And Perry Saturn back when he was living, I think, in Atlanta, he claimed that he got shot trying to save someone who was being raped in a car. Myself, the Mass Maniac, had Perry Saturn on the Mass Maniac show. The three of us talked to Perry Saturn. Perry Saturn got in great detail as far as what happened with that attempted rape. And it was a big deal because if you Google this right now, Google my name and Google Perry Saturn no sold bullets, you will find an article that I wrote back, 17 years ago? I wrote that. It was a big story at the time. Then Perry Saturn disappeared. He disappeared. Don't know what happened to him. So Mass Maniac is like, DT, you skip trace. You have your connections. Get on it. So I started investigating, researching to try to find Perry Saturn. Disappeared off the face of the earth. Next thing I know, I uncover court documents. Being sued for alimony. Accused of a lot of physical violence. I have the court papers still to this day. And more that I was uncovering, Perry Saturn went into hiding. Next thing I know, I got his ex-wife's lawyer contacting me. Where is he? We want that. And then I questioned if Perry Saturn actually got shot, because I then investigated if there was ever any admittance of Perry Saturn. I'm not going to say his real name here, but you all could Google it. And we found out that there was never any incident that he was in the hospital being treated for gunshot wounds. So when he did that interview with, I think it was Sean Oliver, and somebody asked him, you know, what do you have to say about this guy, you know, Don Tony, saying that, you know, you didn't get shot? And he's like, I don't know who Don Tony is. Well, he didn't know. I didn't have the Don Tony name at the time. But still, you know, once you start making claims like that, and you have facts to back it up, you're not a very popular person. And in hindsight, I regretted doing that much research. And I really haven't since. That and the Kamala stuff really changed my way of handling stuff. So the Jeff Hardy thing, the more I look into it, you know, the more I'm starting to see, like, look at these mainstream media that don't want to do a damn thing about it. And they're not. They're doing it quietly, probably, but they're not publicly saying, we're trying to find out, we're trying this, we're trying that. Because if it ends up being somebody, plus, you don't want to out someone who's trying to help Jeff. They might have meant well behind it. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Thank you, Omar, for the kind words. As soon as I hear something else, I'll let you know. And let me also make it clear, you know, I'm not going to put my real work in jeopardy because of this story. Like I said, I could get some answers like this, but you're not allowed. There's a certain procedure, process you have to go through, and if that highway patrol does not want to give me certain things, I'm going to respect it and say, okay. But if you notice, TMZ is not even covering it. So, you know, it's not as easy as you think it is. All right. Yes, Kamala did pass away years ago, Ken, but when he was alive, there was a big controversy with him and Dawn Marie and Wrestler's Rescue, and I got involved with it. At that time, I was talking to Dawn Marie, supporting Wrestler's Rescue, and Kamala made some wild accusations against Dawn Marie. I'm sure a lot of you remember, Dawn Marie, no good. Dawn Marie, when you got money in your pockets, you can... Remember all that? Yeah, I was the quote-unquote scumbag. Why are you doing that to Kamala? What am I doing to Kamala? I'm just trying to get the answers. And I uncovered that Kamala was looking for money, and I don't blame him. He was in some very dire financial need at that time. But, you know, when you have Wrestler's Rescue and the way it's set up and it's a charitable organization, you can't just say, yeah. You know, there's a process, and, you know, it was really controversial. And I got the truth, and the truth was against Kamala, but because of his physical condition at the time, a lot of people thought I was an asshole. That's why between the Saturn and the Kamala stuff, I said, you know what? It ain't fucking worth it. It's not worth it. why work that hard to get the answer? And when you get the answer, either everybody says to you, fuck you, or they're like, we don't want to be any part of it. The selective journalism. Yes, I am the idiot that does all that dirt. Rams fan with a great question. Should the car rental company start being held accountable for DUIs along with the person that did the crime? Let me tell you something. That's why, brilliant question. That's why I don't believe Jeff Hardy rented the vehicle. Because what was that term that we talked about with Tammy? Remember, perceived or inherited responsibility. I forget what the term is. Remember when we talked about her boyfriend, and if her boyfriend bought the car, put it in his name so she could use it, it's inherited, you're responsible in an indirect way. Now, that wasn't the case with her boyfriend. I want to make that clear. But we used the example of a bar. If you go into a bar and you're drinking profusely, and you're intoxicated, and then you leave, get behind a wheel, and kill somebody, the bar could be held liable as well. So if Jeff Hardy got arrested for DUI, and it ends up that he rented the vehicle, and the rental company did not do their diligence to see that Jeff Hardy's license was suspended at the time, and he required to have one of those alcohol ignition devices installed in order to drive a vehicle if he wasn't under suspension, I would think that that car rental company would be in some trouble right now. So that's why I don't think Jeff Hardy rented the vehicle, because immediately you would bear some responsibility on the rental company, like, why are you renting this guy a vehicle when he doesn't have a valid license? It's restricted, it's suspended, and he's supposed to have an alcohol ignition cutoff. So that's why I don't think Jeff Hardy rented it. I think someone else rented the vehicle and allowed Jeff Hardy to use it. We'll find out. Joey is asking me this. This is a pretty raw question, man. If I find out it's somebody famous that rented Jeff Hardy the vehicle, will I make it public? I don't know, man. I mean, honestly, it's news. I probably would. But if it's somebody, look, again, let me make this clear. It's not Matt Hardy and it's not Tony Khan. And I know what a lot of you are going to say. DT, how do you really know? Matt Hardy really did not know the extent of Jeff Hardy still drinking. I believe him. Matt Hardy battled his own demons. Matt Hardy is not going to go on his own podcast a couple of days later and just brutally lie to everyone. He did not enable his brother. His brother is a grown adult. His brother made these decisions. I don't believe Matt Hardy is involved with it at all. Tony Khan is not that stupid. I mean, as much as we criticize Tony Khan on the creative side and other things, the man is not stupid like that. If it ends up being somebody, you know, pretty famous, I mean, you know, I don't know how to react at that time. I mean, I probably would for all of you. I mean, you will not see me write on Twitter, breaking news, you heard it here first, exclusive, put my name everywhere. No, I'll just do it on the show over here. And then whoever picks up on it, picks up on it. So I'm getting, let me make this clear. I'm getting this information for all of you. I'm not getting, the guy give a shit? I'm curious. Who rented Jeff the vehicle? Curious. But I'm getting it for all of you that want to know the answer. I'm not doing it for publicity. Believe me, if I wanted to do stuff for publicity, you know, you would see these shows completely different. And honestly, I probably would get more views, but that's not me. I'm not interested. I don't need it like that. Mark Hicks, I am extremely excited for Elias tonight. I know. It doesn't stick anymore, but he's going to have the beard. Hello, I'm Elias. I was thinking, do they have to give him hair extensions? He might have to go like Kane wig territory. And listen, this is a $1 billion company. You don't think all these months that Ezekiel's been on TV, that it, behind the scenes, they haven't had like a costume company preparing a really nice wig and a beard for Ezekiel to wear, so when they do want to tease Elias coming back? So this is not just like spur of the moment. Hey, let's just do this. You know, they try to trigger a number. This has been in development for the minute they created the Ezekiel character, they had this burning in the background. I know there's some people that still think that Aaron Stevens is going to show up and he's going to be Elias. It ain't. It's not happening. It's not happening. You got to make Kevin Owens go nuts. Kevin Owens is going to see Elias in the ring, and Kevin Owens is going to freak out. And we'll probably see Ezekiel in a pre-recorded segment on the Titantron, and Kevin Owens is going to be like, he's going to go nuts. You can't do that with Aaron Stevens. Aaron Stevens doesn't sound like Elias. So if Kevin Owens says, you're Damian Sandow. No, I am Elias. It doesn't. It's going to be Elias with some hair extensions. Look, I could be way off on this. But from what, you know, the conversation had, it's going to be hair extensions and a fake beard, some good special effects and glue. And he will come out there and we'll probably have Ezekiel on the Titantron. And look, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Yeah, you know, look, it does suck about Tim White. Oh, man, I can't wait to cover this tonight. I can't wait to cover that tonight. You know, I watched some of the segments back this morning. And, you know, like, for some reason, I could laugh at them now, but in 2005, some of you out there, if you've never seen these segments, they're disturbing. But if you go out of your way and you watch, it's like 15 or 16 of them. Josh Matthews and him were comedy gold, but it was a fucked up storyline. He's trying to end it all, the S word. And you go back and you look at those skits where he turns on his gigantic fan in the back. And supposedly he jumps into the fan and tons of blood gets splashed in the face of Josh Matthews. He's eating rat poison. I put the rat poison one on the screen because that's probably the lamest one I could show. I can't show rifles, and I can't show half the things that he did. But that is a crazy, crazy. And remember, that was kind of, that was after the Attitude Era. This was right in, you know, it's almost like the Attitude Denial, or this was the Ruthless Aggression Era. But it was almost like WWE was in denial that they had to move away from the Attitude Era. They had to become more family friendly. And it feels like Vince and whoever's in creative at that time, that there was a big part of creative that was just in denial that we got to become kid friendly. That's why even when you had DX reform, you know, there were a couple of segments. Didn't they tease that Candice Michelle was under the table doing something? You know, they were trying to like toe the line of both. But you know, look, Tim White, we haven't seen on TV in a while. I mean, I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but when they announced that he passed away, you know, I saw like some podcast and news sites writing, no, oh my God, that's horrible. That's, I'm going to miss him. And I'm saying to myself, miss him? Unless you hung out with him, talked to him online, talked to him offline, what do you mean miss him? Hasn't been on TV in how long? I'm going to miss him. What if you haven't missed him the last 10, 12 years? He hasn't been on TV. What does that even mean? That's because they try to be over emotional on their tweets. They think that they're showing love and respect and they're showing how fake that they are. Oh my God. He will be sorely missed. Kidding me? Do a Google or Twitter advanced search on that person. Let's see how much he missed Tim White over the last 15 years. You don't see not one tweet posted. Sucks that he died this young. I'm closer to his age, you know, than people realize. I don't want to die that young. You know, sad. It's absolutely sad. We'll pay you a little more tribute tonight. All right. Let's move on with the questions. Looks like we're not going to do the phone lines today, only because we're really not going to go all that long today. But because we got a show again later tonight. But Benjamin is asking, should Vince have taken a chance to retire on his own terms after Mania, since he knew the scandal was going to be public? No. No. Vince has been a promiscuous man for decades, longer than some of you are alive. Yet, he's been in charge all this time. You know, there is a cancel culture. And like I said, as much as people don't want to admit it, and 99% of the shows out there didn't bring up this term, believe me, his close relationship with Donald Trump is just another huge reason why people just want Vince McMahon to be hurt. This is revenge for the hatred of Vince McMahon, the dislike of Vince McMahon, a white billionaire, Republican Trump supporter, you know, promiscuous man. That's what it comes down to for a lot of people. There's no question that Vince McMahon, I wouldn't be married to him. I'd be very embarrassed if I was part of that family. But, you know, this is what he did. And I think, you know, Vince is what Vince is. There's no surprise here. I think everybody we're not surprised at all. Like I said, if anything, people should be more outrageous at John Laurinaitis cheating on his wife while she was battling brain cancer. Which one is worse? Do you see anybody talking about Johnny Ace right now? Everything is Vince because of two reasons. One, because they hate Vince and they think that this is their last shot at getting revenge, an emotional revenge against him. Or they just want hits. Do you see some people who are tweeting 20, 30, 40 times about Vince in the last couple of days? Because they want attention. You think they're that emotionally angry at Vince? 73-year-old man got horny and he had sex with an employee willingly. The woman willingly did. And remember, you know, we're not, I'm sorry for saying this, I have no sympathy against the female employee. Why should I? She had sex with a 73-year-old. She might have had sex with someone else. She wanted to. Why are we supposed to have sympathy? Why? And if she demanded money to keep silent, give me one logical reason why I should feel sorry for this female in any way. She got laid and she got paid. She got made, laid, and paid. Tell me what was done wrong to her.
Oh, she was fired.
Well, yeah, we had COVID and they streamlined and they also fired hundreds of other employees. You know, until you show me that something was done to hurt her, tell me why I should feel bad. Seriously. Please, I'm not trying to be a chauvinistic pig here. I don't condone what Vince did. I hope to God at 73 years old, I still want to do this with my wife, soon-to-be wife, no one else. But please, I'm still waiting for somebody to tell me that's angry at Vince for all this stuff. Tell me why they have sympathy for this female.
Well, she was pushed around like a toy.
Said who? Said who? People that want Vince to pay the price for this. Easy. Easy peasy, everybody. It's not hard to figure it out. Don't feel bad for the woman. She wasn't hurt. She wanted to be part of this. She wanted to do it.
Oh, she was being used.
I think she knew that Vince was married and Johnny Ace was married. You know, don't put words in people's mouth because you want it to go in a certain direction. I know that's not most of you out there, but that's a message to some of those others. Stop forcing a direction that it may not go in, because that's where people fuck up. There's a lot of people online right now that are fucking up big time. Why? Because they won't let it just pan out, because they are afraid that it may not pan out in the favor that they want. So they want to push a certain agenda over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, so you start believing it. Like we said with the Triple H stuff, people push that so much that WWE is trying to erase his legacy, that when people say it enough to you, you believe it after a while. It was never true. It was never true. And I think back, if you want to go even further, think back last year with Keith Lee. Keith Lee. Oh, Keith Lee's being buried. Keith Lee was pulled from this pay-per-view. Keith Lee, Vince McMahon has soured on Keith Lee. They have nothing for him. Meanwhile, he's in a hospital in critical condition. You know, it's like people push it enough that you start believing it. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. I'm just trying to be honest about this. Like I said, Vince is a pig. Vince is a pig. I would not be married to him. And I personally think, and I said this the other day, and I'll stick to it, I personally think Vince McMahon and Linda McMahon, it is a marriage that is more just on paper right now. For decades, I believe that intimate part of it has been gone. It reminds me of Bill and Hillary Clinton. I know we said it more jokingly the other day, but no, that is much more believable than you think. Some people said Melania and Donald Trump. Yeah, that could very well be also. There are some people who will remain married, especially when they're in giant positions of power, because of, for the sake of the business, for the sake of the family, for the sake of the name, that I just don't feel like Vince and Linda are this close and intimate anymore. And that's been for a very long time. But let's also look again. Let's also not put Linda McMahon as the victim just yet, because she was involved in some storylines, like I said, with Bischoff and others, that she was willingly, you know, being part of this. She was in storylines. She let a daughter slap her and stuff like that. And yes, she got revenge in the end. But this whole family is a little bit special. So, you know, Linda was a willing participant in a lot of all of this. But no, I don't think Linda McMahon slept with Eric Bischoff. From what I heard, Eric Bischoff's always been loyal to his wife. I remember the rumors about wife swapping and DDP and all that stuff. I don't know if it's true. But, you know, I have never heard anything in recent memory of Eric Bischoff not being loyal. I've heard Eric Bischoff is, you know, the complete opposite. But I don't know these people personally, so I really couldn't tell you for sure. So, Kevin Milwaukee, if Vince's affair went down and WWE was not a publicly traded company, how would the story end? And would WWE be better off not being a publicly traded company? No, WWE, it's helped them being a publicly traded company. They would not be worth what they're worth now if it was a publicly traded company. See, by being a publicly traded company and having a board of directors, everything is done for the bottom line. See, Vince McMahon, and this is why I loved that interview with Pat McAfee more than anything else. I mean, I loved everything about it, because there's this aura of Vince over the years that you don't get to see behind the scenes what makes him tick. You don't get to see the real personal side of Vince. So that was pretty cool for me. But the one part of that interview that he did with Pat McAfee that I had a smile from ear to ear is when we have been saying for years that WWE has to please the stockholders, and you could criticize, bash, rip, and say it over and over again that creative sucks and this sucks and Bruce sucks and this sucks. You're pissing in the wind. because if they're making record profits and their investors are happy, why would they change anything? I don't like the horrible storylines. I hate it. But when you realize it's a publicly traded company and they have to answer to their investors more than anything else, you know, you have to understand how the business operates. So when Vince said that, it's the investors, stupid. All these people that have been pushing it completely, we're all in denial. Vince is lying. Triple H, when he did that interview with that, I forget the name of it. He did a interview a couple of months ago, was talking about the plans for NXT and going back to developmental and everything else. We've been saying that for 2 years. And now Triple H says it and it's in print. And all those people that lied to you because they had an agenda, they accuse Triple H of lying. Everybody's lying. A publicly traded billion-dollar company does not blatantly lie like that. They could go to jail like this. And you don't think that Vince McMahon and everybody else is not under the radar? That if these guys and gals were truly lying, you don't think that all these websites that are suddenly angry about an affair wouldn't be under a microscope? When Vince was accused of lying, why didn't all these sites say, hey, securities fraud? Isn't that securities fraud? Isn't that, who's that woman that does the housekeeping stuff? What's her name? Someone in the chat, bail me out. What's her name? She went to jail for stock manipulation back then. Like, she influenced the stock and she committed fraud. She went to jail for it. I can't remember her name right now. Somebody will remember it. Just Martha Stewart. Thank you, Captain Caveman. Why didn't all these places cite Martha Stewart with Vince, with Triple H, with anybody? Why didn't they cite Martha? They didn't even insinuate it because they knew it wasn't true. They knew it wasn't true. So at the end of the day, it's about the investors. WWE needs to be a publicly traded company. Honestly, we probably have benefited because it's a publicly traded company. And I know what you're going to say. How did we benefit? Just imagine if it wasn't a publicly traded company. They could just do whatever the fuck they want. Now they have to answer to investors. Now they have to do certain things a certain way. Trust me. You know, when you think about this at the end of the day, being a billion-dollar publicly traded company, anybody who is an executive there has to think twice and three times over before they do something questionable. Believe me, Vince knew the ramifications if this came out public. But Vince, you know, still, you know, that piece of ass was more important to him. He knows what he's doing. Look, we're going to probably see some controversy in the next week or two, and you're going to hear it here first. Do not be surprised if Vince McMahon, because he's still in creative, that we see more love for Vince McMahon. Do not be surprised if Vinnie Mac's name is mentioned more and more and more love and support for Vince McMahon. Because you might have 1,000, 2,000 social media people loud screaming, but WWE has millions of fans. You might have 10, 20,000 people that will dislike this and verbally speak out on it, but you have millions of fans. Why do you think when Vince came out the other day, people, we would say it in a watch party, watch, you're going to see people going like this. Because at the end of the day, yeah, you know what? We're all humans and we make mistakes. And yeah, it's fucked up with what Vince did. But, you know, he didn't commit any crimes. The woman was willing to be a part of it. Some people look at it like, man, I hope it's 73. I still want it that bad. And they look at it like, eh, he's a dirty old man. But you know what? I'm here to be entertained. I'm here to be entertained. You know how many athletes, musicians, actors, actresses have had very fucked up sexual personal lives? And you bypass it because, oh, he sings awesome. Or, oh, man, he could shoot hoops. Or, you know how many people have, like, all the history of wrestling, the history of music, with all the roadies and everything else? You don't think that these people did some horrible stuff? When you break the law, that's different. But, you know, being dirty people and just cheating and doing Ric Flair. People are gushing about, oh, one more retirement match. Look what Ric Flair has done, even against his own women.
Oh, but it's not a corporate employee.
It's still the deed. So, all right. Let's see. A couple of super chats came in. Puffy89. Are you looking forward to the new Beavis and Butthead movie coming out later this year on Paramount Plus? I am. I will not deny I'm a little bit concerned about Mike Judge because I know his views about certain things. I hope he sticks to the uber politically incorrectness that is Beavis and Butthead. If anybody, look, I don't know if you could see it right behind the traffic light. There's Beavis and Butthead. When I first set this up, I wanted to put a couple of things to reflect. My favorite cartoon in my lifetime. I just loved Beavis and Butthead so much. But I think it'll be good. But I am a little concerned that we might get a little bit of political correctness out of it. But in the end, it's needed. It's needed. I think a little bit of political incorrectness these days could help because it's so one-sided, especially in entertainment. You need some people to ruffle feathers, and then people need to lighten up a little bit. There's no malicious intent involved, and I think some people nowadays, like every little, thing that just triggers people. And you realize online that you could scream at the top of your lungs, and if it's for certain topics and causes, you will have a big audience out there. And it's addicting. It's addicting to have people pay attention to you. And I hope it's good. I hope it's good. And I hope he could do Beavis still. Because over the years, Mike Judge was having a more difficult time doing a Beavis impersonation. So I hope he got that back a little bit. Watch the ones they did about 10 years ago and when they were using like reality shows instead of music videos, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Danny Blackstock, thank you very much, my friend. I just wanted to thank me for caring about being right instead of being first. Dude, I have intros going back 17 years that I can't play, not just because we don't do the DTKC show anymore, but it'd be beyond politically incorrect to post. But if anybody remembers those old intros, one of the things that I said on one of the intros is, we don't want to be first, we want to be right. And then my former co-host made a joke, that I'm not going to repeat here because I don't want any negative shit to go his way. But, I've been saying that since 1997. And back then, look, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to reveal something now that I've never revealed before. I swear to God, I'm going to reveal something now you all get a kick out of. When I started in 1997, I had no connections. I had no sources. I was more just giving reactions to what was going on in the news. And I wanted to feel like I was an important journalist, so we would put stuff out there. And we would try to get the news before everyone else. Later on, I became friends with Mike the Informer. I don't know if anybody remembers Mike the Informer. And then with the TNA stuff, Mr. Mystery. And then you become friends with people in wrestling over the years. And when they share locker rooms and say, hey, dude, check this out. You're not going to believe this. You won't believe what I saw here. And most people trust me. Now I'm going to keep it quiet. There's so much stuff that I've been told and seen that I never made public because of that trust. But back in 1997... when I said that I don't want to be first, I want to be right, the only reason why I was saying that is because I had no connections and it was almost impossible for me to be first. So I would just say, I don't want to be first, I want to be right. So because I knew I would never be first. I didn't have sources like that. Over the years after that, in the early 2000s, it morphed that, okay, I do have the answers. Now I do have sources. Now I can verify stuff. So I kept it because... yeah, I don't want to be first. I want to make sure. That's why if you notice, did you see that awful shit that Wade Keller reported yesterday? I'm going to mention it tonight again if I remember. It's not written down or anything. I read one of the stupidest, awful things, and it just reminded me why I fucking can't stand Wade Keller. It's nothing personal, but he's just fucking awful. He actually, there's news reports going around that he dispelled the rumor that Triple H and Stephanie are not involved with each other anymore. He did on his podcast, he said, look, you know, there's rumors going around that Stephanie and Triple H are no longer intimately involved, and I'm here to tell you they're still a team. Why would you even fucking say that? There is no credible reports going around that Stephanie and Triple H are no longer romantically together, that they're just in marriage. Why would you even fucking throw that shit out there? It's not true. He's dispelling a story that's not even being perceived. That is fucking awful. And that's shit that I will always stay away from. I read it yesterday. I said, I wanted to say something, but I said, nah, he ain't even fucking worth it. I was going to write something. How fucking awful is that? So go, I don't care if you go seek it out. Look at it and you'll see what I'm talking about. Why would you even bring that out there? If it's bullshit and no credible people are reporting it, you don't say it. That's why most of the bullshit never comes up here. Now, if somebody asks me, I will answer it. Yeah, if it's Super Chat comes in, I'll address it. I'm not going to ignore it. But, you know, when somebody says to me, oh, what do you think about that Stephanie was being forced out because of the MLW lawsuit? It was stupid. And now, look, she's the interim CEO. Even if it's just a name only, why would you send a message to your stockholders? A woman who was being forced out because of an MLW lawsuit that's this big is now the CEO of everything. You don't think stockholders would be like, what the fuck are they doing? No reaction whatsoever, because it was never true. It was never true. John Falsetta, never stop fighting for the truth. If you don't, who will? He wonders what else Saturn lied about. No. Saturn didn't lie about anything other than the shooting stuff. I could never verify. I don't want to call him a liar, but I will say this. When he was on our hotline, he said it happened to in Atlanta, and then he disappeared off the face of the earth. And Mass Maniac said, you know, I hope he didn't die. And there was rumors at that time Perry Saturn died. So I started skip tracing, and I started checking everything. And more I uncovered, it didn't paint a good picture. Then I thought, okay, maybe I had complications from the shooting. And I contacted all the hospitals in the Atlanta area at that time, gave him his real name, date of birth. There was no record of him being shot. So all I said was, look, there's no record of him being shot. I checked every hospital in like a 100-mile radius of where he said it happened. There was no record whatsoever. Couldn't find a police report for the shooting. So, you know, I don't want to say he lied, but I couldn't find any proof that he didn't. But his Army Ranger stuff is legit. His, and I thank Perry Saturn for his service. You know, I don't want anybody to throw any shade to Perry Saturn, because that is long gone and we don't know. We don't know the truth. What I always was told, in case people want to know, is that the scar that he had, that he claimed was gunshot, was actual surgery for, you know, injuries. I don't know what's true or it's not. Bottom line is, he was alive. And that's what we were looking for. It just, unfortunately, trying to get that answer, you uncover a whole load of shit. That's why the Jeff Hardy thing, look, like I showed you Saturday, I got tons of reports here. And it does answer a lot of little things, but there's a lot of other little things on there that it's like, man, I didn't want to find that, or I didn't need to see this, or I don't want to, you know. So I'm just a little nervous that I might find more than what I was looking for. And then it's like, okay, what do you do about it? So, all right, Chris Cutterer. Was the Wardlow handicap match last week the worst segment ever on Dynamite? You know, I did not know. What was his name? Kevin Smith? I don't remember his name, but I'm getting text messages. Oh, My fiance is out buying, she's buying a wedding dress for her mom. So we're in the afternoon here. So when it's not late at night, sometimes personal gets in the way. So you'll probably hear my doorbell ring also. We're going to end this soon because I have UPS packages coming and then my fiance's coming. We're going to have some dinner and then watch Raw and then I'll be back right back here with the show. I did not know one of those two UFC guys got hit by a train. Got hit by a fucking train. Now, in hindsight, okay, it was cool. You know, AEW, putting them in the ring, feel-good segment, boost his spirits, do a little something with Wardlow. So the thought as to why AEW put that UFC guy in the ring, I don't have any issue with it at all. They meant good out of it, so I'm not going to criticize them, but the whole segment was just garbage. Would I call it the worst of all time? No. I mean, you know, you think back at the Dark Order punching air and some of the other segments that just didn't make any sense. I mean, there's been a more crap than you think. But I will say this Wardlow segment, I don't know who came up with that, but that was just awful. And then earlier in the week, a day or two earlier, you got Tony Khan telling Busted Open, yeah, he's got a pin or submit everyone. And literally 10 seconds in the match, people just falling off the side of the apron, they're eliminated. It was just garbage. You know, AEW, and I'm glad everybody else picked up on it too. Even Cornette picked up on it also. You had Yuta and Santana run down the rampway, and it made no sense whatsoever. Why was Eddie Kingston the only person by Ortiz's side in the ham versus ham match the whole time? Why? Because Santana was taking a shit? Because there was a churros truck on the outside? Churros. It made no sense. You know why they did that? Because Tony's like, oh, let's send him down the rampway just so the fans could pop. Oh, look, somebody's running on the rampway. Oh, look, to the save, to the rescue. Why did Yuta even come out there in the first place? What does Yuta have connect? Because they're just trying to throw so much shit out there to try to maximize every little opportunity. Oh, why just do this when you could do this? And less is more. Less is more. I like Rampage more than I like Dynamite. I swear to God. I like Rampage more than I like Dynamite. Less is more. And the more Crash TV, the more clusterfucks, the more interferences, the more swerves they try to do, and I don't mean Strickland, the more people are getting numb to it. That rating last week, there is no excuse for that. None whatsoever. None. Zero. The Wardlow match is up there. But Wardlow, people realize this wasn't his fault. That's why I don't think Wardlow suffered any damage because of it. I would not be surprised if Tony Khan, if they're going to do this, continue the storyline with MJF, in my opinion, if you didn't do it because you want to focus everything on Forbidden Door, go right ahead. I think within the next week or two, AEW's got to do something with MJF on TV. Like I said, we got Forbidden Door this weekend coming up. So, a week or two after Forbidden Door, they got to do something with the MJF stuff. They got to speed up. Just like we said a couple of weeks ago with Cody injured, they were going to put Brock Lesnar on the fast track to return. It's not news. It's common sense. Okay, Cody is out. No problem. Boom. One person goes down. We got somebody lined up. And that's Brock. You know, it's not like, and why do you think, this is how the sources is made too, everybody. Why do you think when Brock Lesnar returned on Friday, instead of people just reporting Brock Lesnar made his return to WWE, you had people like Alvarez and others make little wise remarks, you know, in case people didn't obviously realize this, Brock Lesnar made his return. Why make a comment like, oh, Captain Obvious, like everybody knew he was coming back? because none of them reported it the last couple of weeks. None of them said Brock Lesnar is on the fast track of returning due to Cody's injury. Nobody reported that. But because Brock Lesnar came back much sooner than they expected, then it's like, oh, in case anybody didn't realize that this was going to happen tonight. You see little things like that. That's their way of saying, oh, everybody who did claim that, oh, no, that was expected. That's why it wasn't news. We all expected that. They are dum-dums, everyone. They are dum-dums. Yes, Mark Hicks, he is a dum-dum. I like him. I like him. But you see little things like that, that's how the sausage is made. All right. Let's do a couple of more questions. We're at exactly 1 hour right now. Let's do 15 more minutes. That will have us end around 5:20 p.m., which is still almost 3 hours before Raw. So we just look. It seems like tonight the conversation is mostly about Vince, a little Jeff Hardy, Elias, a couple other things. Rocky Red, my phrase, how the sausage is made, what does it mean of where it came from? Okay, I am not the innovator of the phrase, how the sausage is made. I have used it on my shows and hotlines for 25 years. And what it means is when you buy sausage, and look, I never Googled it, so I'm just telling you my interpretation of it. When you buy sausage, breakfast sausage, sausage from a supermarket, you know, you buy it, it's in a casing, you fry it up, you eat it. Hopefully you cook it, you eat it. But you don't know how that sausage was made. So basically, if you don't know how it's made, you know, you take the pork and you grind it up and you put spice, you put this and you use casings. And it's funny, I used to work in my dad's store. I know how to make sausage. You put it in this thing and you crank this thing. And as you're doing it, there's a casing and you're literally going like this. And as it's coming out, I know what it looks like, but you're like, just, that's how it shows you how the sausage is made. You see the end result, but you don't know how it's made. When I use it with the shows, what that means is when you hear certain types of news, that's not news, it's common sense. So I'm showing you, this is how they come up with this. Okay, here's a great example. Sometimes it's funny because when we say this a couple of days early and people see it on a search result, then they don't do it. We're like, aha. But you will see some Nimrods. Okay, here's a good one. 2 weeks ago, our sources tell us that the buzz backstage of SmackDown was Naomi and Sasha. This was 2 weeks after they walked out. So you will have Nimrods this week say, backstage, our sources tell us, backstage, all the talk was about Vince McMahon and John Laurinaitis on Raw. All the talk backstage on Raw was about Vince McMahon. When Vince McMahon came out on SmackDown, what did you see people reporting? Our sources say that the reactions backstage varied between angry and confusion. Do you think that people who are working backstage are text messaging journalists and they're saying, oh, I'm confused right now. I'm mad right now. But meanwhile, they can't even fucking answer tiny little news tidbits. You see what they got exposed about the Sasha stuff? They got exposed about the Vince stuff? They got exposed about the Stephanie stuff? They got exposed about the so many things. MJF, you see how much, they have no connections, most of them. Not all of them, but some, they don't have nothing. So how the sausage is made is, you will see this week, our sources tell us that all the talk backstage at Raw was Vince McMahon and the controversy, or Stephanie returning. That's how the sausage is made. You look at something and you think of a common sense reaction to it, and then you just put backstage sources tell us. And it just sounds right. It's common reaction. If you work for a company and one of your high profile employees just walks out the next week, once you found out, you show up at work. Oh my God, did you hear what Sasha did last week? It's common sense. But someone will say, our backstage sources tell us that everybody was talking about Sasha. That's not news and that's not sources. That's just, you look at a situation, you guess what the reaction would be. You claim its sources. That's how you get the sausage. The sausage is our backstage sources tell us blah, 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 and blah. I'm showing you how that sausage was made to get to that article. That's, I've been doing this 25 years, everybody. That's why 98% of these sites and journalists out there won't acknowledge you or me in anything. In anything. The only time that they brought me up recently is because they thought Tammy Sitch was ripping me apart on social media. It wasn't Tammy Sitch, it was her boyfriend. And I've talked to him after, and we've not friends. We're not, he doesn't like me, he can't stand me. But we agreed to just shut the fuck up about each other, you know? But the point is, I told everybody, that's not Tammy, that's her boyfriend. And people said, shh, no. Now they're still saying, oh, you remember when Tammy Sitch ripped DT apart? It was never Tammy Sitch. She was in fucking jail. What do you think she was doing? In a cell? I don't want to make a phone call. I'd rather text this asshole, this fat fuck online that keeps talking about me. No. So people don't care because they know. Because I don't give a shit about being part of the Cool Kids Club. You know, you saw, you know, before AEW ever came to New York, how many people out there, oh, DT, when AEW comes, we all got to get together and hang out. They've been to New York already, what, 3 times? I have yet to have one of them send me an email, a DM, or something. Hey, DT, you want to get together with all of us? Can't be shown with them, so it's all right. I will say this, Kevin. I'm not defending Tammy's boyfriend, but because he is such a dislikable guy, you know, like even when he doesn't do something wrong, you know, you can't get behind him. But, you know, he's got a mess in front of him. He's got a mess in front of him. Tammy's boyfriend has been fighting off others on social media with excuses. You know, I was going to DM him the other day and ask him, did you set up an OnlyFans account for Tammy? But what I found out was if anybody paid it, you know, took a few moments to click on some links, it was leading to some guy's website. It was fake. Tammy never relaunched an OnlyFans. She's in prison. I actually saw people were reporting that Tammy Sitch relaunched her OnlyFans page. She's in fucking jail. She, even if she has internet access, she can't be like, if she really relaunched her OnlyFans while she was in jail, then let her look, almost look like a hospital surgery. Let her, let's see the prison bars in the background, and she's like this. I'm wearing shorts, by the way. Not underwears. Shorts. Jean shorts. Come on. She's in fucking prison. She can't relaunch an OnlyFans. But that's not going to get hits. It's not going to get hits, man. Where do I see wrestling in the next 4 years? I see it pretty much where it is right now. 4 years will go like this. AEW will be fine. I think they'll actually get better. They may get a little worse before they get better, but AEW will be fine. WWE will be fine. I mean, pro wrestling is, you'll see some changes here and there, but as we get completely out of COVID, which will take years still, this Forbidden Door thing, Forbidden Door is going to become such an annoying word. People are starting to get annoying with it already. It's, Forbidden Door has almost run its course. Remember what I said, Tony Khan was not the Forbidden Door. COVID was the Forbidden Door. And by the way, you know, we'll talk about it on Wednesday, because Wednesday is non-WWE stuff, but I did watch SummerSlamiversary yesterday, and that was very, very cool of AJ Styles and WWE allowing him to pay a little love to... Why didn't they allow... why didn't Tony Khan allow some of his stars comment about Impact? If you remember, a while back, I said, you know, I don't think Impact Wrestling and AEW are on the best of terms right now. That was very, very one-sided what went down over there. And I still think there is some issues on that side. And same thing with NWA. Same thing. I think this Forbidden Door is coming to a close sooner than you think. Somebody asked me with Father's Day. Nir, what's up, Nir? What's my favorite memory from Father's Day? By the way, I posted this on Twitter yesterday. I never realized, and I never posted this picture before of me and my dad, because I was at my dad's house yesterday. And the reason why we're doing this on a Monday afternoon was because yesterday I spent Father's Day with my dad. I actually went there Saturday, stood there overnight after we did the Don Tony show. I went there at like, 11:30 at night. We were going to go the next morning. And I was wide awake, and my fiance was wide awake. I said, let's just go to the beach house. So we went there, and I stood there overnight, and then we spent the day there yesterday. And then it got a little later, and my father wanted a barbecue. So next thing you know, it's like, I got to leave, go do my show. And I'm like, oh, man, my father's 73 years old, and my father's not in the greatest of health. I'm not going to guarantee that next Father's Day he's going to be around. I'm going to spend yesterday as much as I want with him. So I stood there last night, too. Today was a holiday, obviously. So I was able to come home this morning. But I was looking for a picture to post. And I was in my apartment. And I was going to go upstairs, snap a picture of me and my dad, and then post it for everybody. But I was in my apartment, and I'm down, and I'm like, let me just grab a retro photo. And this is me and my dad when I graduated from high school. My dad was a pimp. My dad was the godfather at that time. My dad was classy dresser. Yep, that's how he would dress when he would go out. That is me when I graduated high school. So I'm sure by now you all saw that video of me walking out with the chair. I think about that. Late 80s, I graduated high school, and I took the chair home. Wrestling didn't have pay-per-views yet where you could take home a commemorative chair. For some reason, I said, I'm going to take home the folding chair. And there's footage of me walking out of my graduation holding the folding chair. You see everybody else walking out, and you see this goof, me, walking out with the folding chair. So probably yesterday was my favorite Father's Day. Probably yesterday. Because I don't take them for granted anymore. Yeah, Mark, we will see Edge back very, very soon. Very soon. Brian Clark's in the house. Happy Father's Day, Brian. Much love to you and your family. And hope. By the way, I got a package over the weekend. There was a couple of wrestling figures that I pre-ordered that from Brian Clark that came in that I'm going to show. I'll probably show it tonight. I want to, you know, put a little focus on it. They're really, really cool. Going to give away one or two on these shows. But Mr. Adam Baum is in the house. Much love to him, man. Great guy. Muhammad loves the old DT stories. Boba Fett, I don't know what's going on with the collab that me and Kevin were going to do with Killer Kross. Killer Kross has been extremely busy, and I don't know what Kevin is doing as far as video. I have not heard anything, so I will try to get an update for everybody out there. I mean, I could do it whenever I want, but I know he couldn't do it until June because he's very busy with work also. So, you know, we're going to do it. There's no controversy. I don't want anybody to think. There's no controversy at all right now. Yeah, the chair clip. I don't have it handy. Otherwise, I'd show you right now. It's worth the view, but maybe I can find it. I don't think I can, because we're about to wrap this up. So maybe I can find it. I'm just looking for a file where it looks like chair. And you know me, once I start looking, I can't stop. So I'm looking to see if I can find it. There's not too many videos. Oh, wait, I found it. You want to see me walking out with a chair on my graduation? I'm going to show it to you right now. Hopefully the video is not distorted. But here, look closely. It's not a long video. It's only like a minute. But you'll look closely. Now, just look at me and my widow's peak and just look at me. And then when you see, you'll eventually see me walk out and you'll see me holding the chair. So let's see if we could do this. All right. There's no audio. I don't know why there's no audio, but see that? Oh, there's my friend Jimmy. I'm going to pause it when you see me. I'm coming up soon, everybody. Coming up soon. This is my graduation. All right. Hang on. There's Jimmy again. I got some funny photos with these guys. Mike is in the house. All right, here we go. Here we go. You'll see my giant head any minute. These are people that you, I stand out when you see it. You'll see. It's coming up right now. About 5 seconds. See, everybody's very happy. Graduated St. Francis Prep. All right. Okay, we just pause this. Here it comes. Here it comes. Okay, you see the chair? Look straight ahead. You see that chair that's up in the air? All right, there I am. Watch. See, I just saw the chair, right? See, there's my head. There I am. See, right behind the second finger. That is me. That is me. Look, the chair. I took home the commemorative chair. I'm the only person in the building. I took home a commemorative chair. I don't know if I don't have that chair. Oh, my friend took a chair too. Yeah, we took the chairs, man. They let us leave with them too. So there you go. No masks. That was the 80s, man. Love the haircuts, hairstyles. My hairstyle is still the same. Look at that. So creative. I still have my hair, thank God. Yeah, like La Parca. All right. Let's stop bringing this home, everybody. Stop bringing this home. Predictive programming. I don't think I was predicting to play that. So don't forget tonight, you know, we got a loaded show. We're going to talk Raw. Talk a little bit more about Tim White's passing. Saturday, we talked about Dave Hepner, who unfortunately passed. And tonight, we got the Elias concert, which, you know, we'll see how they pull that off. And it's going to be a good night. Be a good night. So we got to figure out what day during the week we should do an afternoon show. Now, one day that definitely is off no good is probably Thursdays. Because Thursdays is really when I spend it with family. So Thursdays are pretty much out of the question. But, you know, if you think a Monday afternoon should stick, you think a Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon, maybe Sunday afternoon instead of Sunday night. You know, we could maybe change that around. So Tuesdays I have Patreon. Patreon is still going. And, you know, as long as there's a Patreon Tuesday nights, you know, Tuesdays afternoon is possible. So I can tweak one day during the week. You know, I could work around, you know, my office, even if I came home for lunch for an hour, hour and a half. So we'll figure it out. I mean, one afternoon show a week, it's not a bad idea. So we'll see. We'll see. I know some of you work during a week. So, you know, doing something at like 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon might be kind of messed up for some people. I want to find a day that works for almost everybody out there. So we'll see. We'll see. Patreon, the thing with Patreon is we usually do it right after NXT, and Patreon is mostly like an hour show or so, and it's audio only. So to move Patreon really would not make any sense, to be honest with you. So yeah, I'm kind of thinking maybe like Sunday afternoon. We'll see. So anyway, I'm going to jet out of here. And you see me adjusting here. It's because I got a brace on. So I hope you all enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Enjoy Raw tonight. For everybody on the replay, Raw would have happened already. So hope you enjoy this episode. I tell you, for me, this is going to be easy to do a little synopsis on because it was mostly like 4 or 5 topics that we talked about. But much love, much love. I'm glad everybody could hang out for a little while tonight. I know spur of the moment. You know, I was not intending on postponing the show to Monday afternoon, but, you know, it is a little bit different to do a Monday show. And it's good because my fiance still hasn't returned yet, and my UPS deliveries haven't happened. So at least the show didn't get interrupted. But everybody have a great night. Much love. If you enjoyed this show, hit the like button. If you know anybody that might like the channel, spread the word. And I will catch you all again soon. Now, remember, this weekend is AEW Forbidden Door. And I plan on doing a recap. You know, we're going to just do an overview. I mean, most of those New Japan wrestlers, some of them are household names, but they're not wrestlers that we watch on a regular basis. Otherwise, you know, the TV show on Access would be drawing much better numbers. But we'll definitely do an overview. But because of that, there's no sit-down show Sunday night. So I'll figure out, you know, possible time schedule that we could do an afternoon show, and I'll let everybody vote on it, and we'll start doing that. So much love, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I will catch you all again soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.